إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in ourselves, and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil actions. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. And whoever Allah allows to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and he has no partners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the worship of Allah and his final messenger. أَمَّا بَعْد عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. From the greatest blessings which our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us are our houses which we live and reside in. And these houses, these homes, are from the greatest blessings which Allah has given to Bani Adam, that we live in houses and structures which are strong, sturdy, so we are able to reside in the towns and the cities. When cold hits us, then we can live in these houses in warmth. And when it is warm outside, then we seek the shade and the coolness of these houses. And in these houses, we are concealed and we are able to hide from the glances of the people. Houses in which if we make a mistake, nobody knows this mistake except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Houses and homes in which we can relax and take a respite from the toils and the struggles of the outside world. Houses, places, homes in which we can cultivate our young children in a safe, comfortable environment. Houses and homes in which our elders can seek refuge and protection. And these houses, these homes, as I mentioned, they are a blessing from Allah. And Allah reminds us of this blessing in His book. He said, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. That Allah has made for you, from your houses, your homes, a place of respite. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ جُلُودِ الْأَنْعَامِ. And He has made for you, from the skins or the hides of cattle, buyuta, houses. تَسْتَخِفُّونَهَا يَوْمَ ضَعْنِكُمْ وَيَوْمَ إِقَامَتِكُمْ. And these houses which you build from the skins or the hides of cattle, they are light to carry, meaning tents, when you're traveling. And yet at the same time, when you set these tents up, then they are strong and they protect you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to advise his companions that whenever you're in a time of trouble, confusion, violence, a time of fitna, then go back to your homes and remain in your homes. As in the hadith of Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, طُوبَ لِمَنْ مَلَكَ لِسَانَهُ. The glad tidings for a person who controls his tongue. وَوَسِعَهُ بَيْتُهُ. And the one whose house is sufficient for him. وَبَكَى عَلَى خَطِيئَتِهِ. And the one who weeps over his own sins. So these houses, these homes, which Allah has blessed us with, we have to appreciate these houses. And we have to thank Allah, show gratitude to Him for these homes. And also, importantly, we have to live in these homes with the correct Islamic etiquette. the etiquettes and the manners which our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. So from the first of these Islamic etiquettes in living in a Muslim house or a Muslim home is seeking permission, al-isti'dhan. So if you're entering into a house which is not your house, it isn't allowed for you to enter into this house without seeking permission. And only if you are given permission are you allowed to enter into this house. And this etiquette, Allah taught us in the Quran. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O people of Iman, لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ Do not enter into the houses which are not your houses. حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا Until you give the greetings and you give salam to its people, or you seek permission. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ And this is better for you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ And even if it is your own house, even in your own house, it is an obligation upon you to seek permission before you enter. So if you're living in a house and you're entering in one of the other rooms in which your father or your mother or your children who are over the age of puberty and they're in this room, then you have to seek permission before you enter into the room. And the only exception to this is the room of your wife, in which your wife is. And even then, although it is not an obligation, but it is recommended, it is mustahab, it is encouraged for a person to seek permission. And Al-Imam Malik, he narrates in his Muwatta, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Astadhinu ala ummi? He said, O Messenger of Allah, should I seek permission from my mother? Meaning, there's a room in which my mother is sitting in that room. Before I enter into this room, should I seek permission? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Na'am, yes. The man then said, Inni ma'aha fil bayt. But I live with her in the same house. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, Istadhin alayha. Seek permission before you enter. The man then said, Inni khadimuha, I look after her, I take care of her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Istadhin alayha, seek her permission before you enter the room. And then he explained the wisdom behind this. He said, Atuhibbu an taraha uriyana? Would you like to see your mother and she is naked, she's not dressed properly? Qala la, the man said no. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Fastadhin alayha. So seek permission before you enter her room. And this etiquette of seeking permission, of giving salam, we have to cultivate our children whilst they are young, from a young age. That before they enter into the room of their parents, they should knock and they should wait until permission is given. Before they enter into the room of their older brother or their older sister, then they should knock and seek permission and wait until permission is given. And there are three times in the day in which seeking permission is more emphasized. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned these three times in the Quran. He said, مِنْ قَبْلِ صَلَاتِ الْفَجَرِ Before the Fajr prayer. وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ And when you get undressed at midday. وَمِنْ بَعْدِ صَلَاتِ الْعِشَاءِ And after the Isha prayer. He said, ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ That these three times in the day or the night, they are times of privacy for you. Why these three times? Because each one of them is a time of privacy and a time of sleep. So before Fajr, people are sleeping. And in the warm countries, in midday, people take a siesta, qaylula. And after Isha, people sleep. And they retire to their beds. And therefore maybe they're not dressing properly or they're undressed. And therefore this obligation is more emphasized and this is even within your own houses. Also from the etiquettes of living in a Muslim home, that it should be a place of rest and respite and a place of tranquility, physical rest, mental rest and emotional rest. and contemplate how Allah described the houses in that ayah. He said, جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا, that Allah has made for you from your houses a place of sakan. And sakan, it means for something to stop and calm down and relax. And this is how our houses should be, i.e. they should contain sakina, tranquility and comfort, respite and quiet. And this is how we should cultivate our children. And this is how the spouses should interact with each other, that we make our houses a place of love and appreciation, a place of mutual compassion, a place of togetherness, a place of respect and care for each other, and mercy. Like Allah said, جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا, He has made for you from your houses a place of sakina, a place of sakan, i.e. not a place of chaos and disputes and always shouting at each other. Rather, a house wherein each member of the family, they feel a part of that family, and they feel the love, the appreciation and the care and the concern of each other, the togetherness, the belonging, not that they are isolated. Also, from the etiquettes of living in a Muslim home is giving the greeting of salam before you enter and when you enter. Assalamu alaikum. And a man, he came to the room of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He stood outside. He said, Aliju, should I enter? Meaning he sought permission to enter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his khadim who was inside his own house, he said, Ukhruj ila hadha, fa'allimhu al-isti'dhan, faqul lahu, qul assalamu alaykum, adkhul. The Prophet said to his servant in his house that go out to this man and teach him how to seek permission to enter a house, that he should say, Assalamu alaykum, should I enter? So this salam, giving the greetings of assalam, is something we should do when there is a person in the room or a person in the house. In fact, even if the house is empty, or the room is empty, or the masjid is empty, and you enter into this place, then the greeting of salam, it is still legislated. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he narrated that when a person enters into an empty house or an empty room, then he should say, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. May peace be upon us, meaning upon me and the angels who are with me, and may peace be upon the righteous worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this greeting, this slogan of al-Islam, Assalamu alaykum, this is what gives the feeling of love and concern for each other. And it increases the love between the people. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not enter into Jannah until you have Iman. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And you will not have Iman until you love each other. And then he said to the companions, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ أَحْبَبْتُمْ. Should I not tell you of something, that if you do this thing, you will love each other, it will increase in your mutual love for each other? He said, أَفْشَوُ السَّلَامُ. Give salam to each other. Give the greetings of as-salam. And if this is recommended and emphasized for all of the Muslims, then your own family, your parents, your children, husband, wife, they are more deserving of this salam. And how sad is it when you hear a Muslim child and he rings his mother or she rings her father and doesn't know the etiquettes of al-Islam in talking to the elders and in conversing to the parents. So there is no salam, and there is no asking about the health of the parent. There is only the need. Hello, I need something. I need to be picked up. Where are you, dad? It shouldn't be like this. And this is in reality a deficiency in our tarbiyah. So we have to teach our children. You give salam to your mother first. Then you ask her how she is. Then you ask if she needs anything. Then if you have a need, you can ask your need. Also, from the etiquettes of living in a Muslim house is that when you enter, you talk to each other and you ask about each other. You socialize and converse with each other about your daily life. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he brings a chapter in his book Zad al-Ma'ad, in which he covers the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this chapter, he entitled it Faslun fi hadihi inda dukhulihi ila manzilihi. Chapter, the guidance of the Prophet whenever he would enter into his own house. And then Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيَفْجَأَ أَهْلَهُ بَغْتَةً. That whenever the Prophet would enter into his house, he would not do it suddenly. He wouldn't do it all of a sudden. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ يَدْخُلُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ مِّنْهُمْ بِدُخُولِهِ. Rather, he would enter into his house and his family knew that he was coming. وَكَانَ يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And whenever he would enter into his house, he would give salam to the people. وَكَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ بَدَأَ بِالسُّؤَالِ. And whenever he entered into the house after salam, then he would question and speak to his family. أَوْ سَأَلَ عَنْهُمْ. Or if one member of the family was absent, then he would ask about the absent member. وَرُبَّمَا قَالَ. And perhaps, sometimes he would say, هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ مِنْ غَدَىٰ. Is there something ready for lunch? وَرُبَّمَا سَكَتْ. And perhaps sometimes he would just remain silent. حَتَّى يُحْضَرَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مَا تَيَسَّرْ. Until whatever little food was available, it would be brought in front of him. And this is also how we should cultivate our children from when they are young. That when they enter into their house, they shouldn't throw their jackets onto the floor and kick their shoes off. And they go straight upstairs or to the PlayStation or wherever the TV is, or that they are occupied with their phones. Rather, they come and they sit with their mother and their father and they greet them. They talk to each other. They socialize with each other. They speak to their older brothers and sisters and ask about the day of the mother and the father. And this is a cultivation which Islam, it emphasizes. Also, from the etiquettes of living in a Muslim home is that when you come into the house, you use the miswak. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked by Shuraih, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, he said, بِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ كَانَ يَبْدَأُ النَّبِيِّ إِذَا دَخَلَ بَيْتَهُ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would enter into his house, what is the first thing he would do? She said, السِّوَاك. He would clean his mouth with the siwak. Also from the etiquettes of a Muslim home is that when you leave the house, you say the dua of leaving the house. And this is Bismillahi وَتَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That a person says, I leave in the name of Allah, placing my reliance upon Allah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And there is no power, no might, no ability besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person says this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that it is said, the angel says, هُدِيتَ وَكُفِيتَ وَوُقِيتَ. That you have been guided and you have been sufficed and you have been protected. So then when the shaitan hears this, in haraf al-shaytan, then the shaitan, he walks away from this person. And he says to the other shayateen, كَيْفَ لَكَ بِرَجُلٍ هُدِيَ وَكُفِيَ وَوُقِيَ. Said, what can we do with a man who has been guided and sufficed and he has been protected? Ibadallah. These are some of the etiquettes which we should cultivate our children on when it comes to our houses. And in reality, the houses of the Muslims, a Muslim home, should be different and distinguished from any other home. So there should be in it the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the recitation of the Qur'an and a soul of al-Islam. And this house, this Muslim home, it should be free of corruption and free of music and free of open sinning. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the hadith in Sahih Muslim. He said, مَثَلُ الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي يُذْكَرَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ. That the example of a house in which Allah is mentioned, وَالْبَيْتُ الَّذِي لَا يُذْكَرَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ, and a house in which Allah is not mentioned, مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ, is like the difference between a living person and a dead person. So whoever wants to live in a home in which there is life, a life of taqwa, a life of tranquility, then it should be with the recitation of the Qur'an and listening to the Qur'an and speaking about Islam, learning and teaching and Islamic books and talking about religious matters and also advising each other, consulting with each other about daily living, about the matters of the dunya. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, he said, اجعلوا من صلاتكم في بيوتكم ولا تتخذوها قبورا. He said, do not make your houses like the graveyards. Rather, some of your prayers should be in your houses. I.e. the nafal prayer, it is not done in the graveyard. It isn't allowed for a person to pray nawafil in the graveyard. However, a person should pray nawafil at home. So don't make your houses like the graveyard, in which there are only dead people. There are other places of life, in which there is salah and dhikr and dua and knowledge and care and concern. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا. Do not make your houses like the graveyards. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْفُرُ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي تُقْرَأَ فِي سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. Because shaytan, he flees away from a house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. So if these matters are found in our houses, then our houses will be real homes. Homes in which there are blessings, barakah. Homes in which there is life. Homes in which there is tranquility and a sakina. In which the husband and the wife, they can cultivate their children. Houses which are based upon taqwa of Allah and obedience to Allah. Houses which are protected by the angels, in which the shayateen are far away from. And this is the house which is the first madrasa. This is the house which is the first school, the first environment of learning for the children. As for a house in which there is no dhikr of Allah, and there is no obedience, there is no salah, there is no Islam, there is no Quran, there is no knowledge, then this is a house in which those who are living in it are alive. In their body, physically they are alive. But in their heart and their spirituality, it is a place for the dead. And these are the houses in which the shayateen enter, and the angels they stay away from. And then how about if in these houses not only is there an absence of good, but there is a prevalence of evil. So the parents, they don't pray. And the father, he smokes in the house. And the only thing which is in the house are inappropriate films and music. And all of the discussion in the house is only regarding the dunya and riba based upon interest. And there is lying. And there is the breaking the ties of kinship. And there is the hanging of photos. These types of houses are the house in which the shayateen and jinn are attracted to. House in which is dirt and unclean and untidy and it is chaotic. These are the houses which shaitan stays, which the angels stay away from. Nowadays, there are many complaints about jinn and evil eye, magic, mental problems, emotional anxieties. And this is because of the environment at the house. And the children are being cultivated upon this. So we shouldn't blame society. We shouldn't blame our neighbors. We shouldn't blame the government. We shouldn't blame the school curriculum. If at home, there is an absence of good in our own houses. And there is a prevalence of evil in our own houses. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. عباد الله معشر المؤمنين. Our wealth, money, which Allah has given us, this is a ni'mah. This is a blessing. Just look at any poor person who doesn't have with him the spending of a week. And the food which you place in your mouth, this is a ni'mah. This is a blessing of Allah. Just look at a person or a family who sleeps upon hunger and awakens upon hunger, and living in a society in which there is aman, safety and security, this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great blessing. Just look at a person who closes his eyes at night in fear, and he opens his eyes in the morning upon fear. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum." Always look at the person who is less off than you, who's more hungry than you, and who has less money than you, and who is in a state of fear unlike yourselves. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. And don't always look at the person who has more than you. If you always look at the person who has less than you, you'll appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a man asked the great companion, Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he said to him, أَلَسْنَا مِنْ فُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ. He said, are we not from the poor amongst the muhajirin? So the companion said to him, أَلَكَ إِمْرَأَةٌ تَأْوِي إِلَيْهَا. That, do you have a woman, do you have a wife who you go to? He said, نعم, yes I do. Then he said, أَلَكَ مَسْكَنٌ تَسْكُنُ فِي. Do you have a house in which you live? He said, نعم. He said, yes. He said, فَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْأَغْنِيَةِ. Therefore you are from the rich people. Then the man said, فَإِنَّ لِي خَادِمًا. On top of this, I also have a servant, a housemaid at home. So he replied, فَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُلُوكِ. You are therefore from the kings. And this narration is Sahih Muslim. And look how Allah reminded Bani Israel of the blessings which He gave them. He told Musa alayhi salam to go to his people, the Israelites, and remind them of the blessings. Allah said, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. When Musa said to his people, i.e. Bani Israel, يَا قَوْمِ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. O Bani Israel, remember the blessing of Allah upon you. إِذْ جَعْلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَا. When He made the prophets from amongst you. وَجَعْلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا. And He made you kings. He made you kings upon the earth. وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. And He gave you that which He did not give many other people from creation. What is the meaning of Allah made Bani Israel kings upon the earth? The Mufassirun, Ibn Kathir rahimullah, in the tafsir of this ayah, he said, أَنَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. That Bani Israel, كَانَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْهُمْ إِذَا كَانَ لَهُ بَيْتٌ وَزَوْجَةٌ وَخَادِمٌ يُعَدُّ مَلِكًا. That Bani Israel, a man amongst them, if he had a house that he lived in, and he had a wife that he was married to, and he had a helper at home, he was considered to be a king upon the earth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Abi Darda, he said, "Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbihi." That whoever wakes up amongst you in the morning, and he's safe and secure in his property, mu'afa fi jasadihi, and he's healthy in his body, عنده قوت يومه, and he has enough provisions for a day, he said, فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا. Then it is as if the goodness of the whole dunya is with him. So in reality, my brothers, we shouldn't complain. A person who has a roof over his head, and he has enough for him to eat in the day, and he has warm water in which he can take a shower, and cool water in which he can drink, shouldn't be complaining. عباد الله اشكر الله على نعمه الكثيرة لا تعد ولا تحصى فاشكروه ولا تكفروه واذكروه ولا تنسوه واعبدوه ولا تشركوه وصلوا وسلموا على من أمرتم بالصلاة والسلام عليه أزكى البشرية وخير البرية القائل من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم دمر أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح ذات بيننا وألف بين قلوبنا واهدنا سبل السلام اللهم اعصمنا من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الكفر اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الشرك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النفاق ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وأقم الصلاة.